Welcome back to another episode of Dimes on Duval, along with Skylar Chase and Mike Yaji. I'm Keith Manzi. Thanks for joining us again today. We have a lot of football once again coming at you. I mean, it's kind of the only thing that's really important to us right now. As I mean, yeah, baseball's going on, sure, but it's all about football right now. So we're going to be bringing you a lot of football updates. Mike, Skylar, how are we doing today, fellas?
Same old, same old.
I'm doing okay after this terrible weekend of football.
We are remote again, as we are all in our respective homes, right? Are we all at home? Or, Skylar, are you still at Coastal?
Yeah, I am at Coastal. I just took a shot before you guys started the show.
Skylar is in the only one in the Coastal Indoor Golf Studio. Mike and I are remote, so big show. Bad show, as Mike already mentioned, bad weekend of football. I actually tweeted out this was – I've been racking my brain. I think this is the worst football weekend of my entire lifetime. So I think we should just go ahead and just get it underway and just get the crap out. First, though, we'll start with Skylar, a team that won, the Florida Gators. So Florida beat South Florida. They moved to 2-0. Big game against Alabama coming up soon. But from that last game, we see Anthony Richardson goes 3-for-3 for 152 yards, 2 TDs, and also runs for 115 yards on only 4 carries. Just absolutely incredible numbers, numbers that haven't been put up since the last guy that wore 15 that was a quarterback, Tim Tebow, put up. So, Mike, I think you had a question for Skylar about that. What was the question? I can't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, Skylar, who do you think should start against Alabama this upcoming Saturday after seeing the first two games?
Yeah, obviously, you can't deny the skill set that Anthony Richardson has. He's going to be fun to watch for the future. And as long as he's wearing a Gator jersey, he's going to be fun to watch. As far as who should start, I still think that's Emory. This is something that Dan Mullen always does with his quarterbacks. We talked about it a little bit last time, how he's always going back and forth with quarterbacks. And that's why Keith brought up before Tim Tebow put up numbers like this earlier in his career. But part of that was the way Mullen develops his quarterbacks. We still had Chris Leak as a quarterback, as our starting quarterback in 2006. And then we had Tim Tebow come on. You know, I'm sure people wanted Tebow in the whole time, but you know, Chris Leak was very good for us that year. That was his best season. But similar situation is just, we saw it even last year with Trask coming in. People were clamoring for Emory Jones to start. And then Trask ended up putting up historical numbers and numbers that got him competing for a Heisman Trophy, which I don't think anyone would have said, oh, yeah, Kyle Trask is going to be a Heisman candidate at the end of the season. So, I mean, with that, I think Emory still should be the starter. He sat behind Trask. He sat behind Franks for a little bit. You know, he's seen what Mullen wants to do with offenses. And so he's definitely more equipped to run this offense. I think one point that Dan Mullen brought up for why people keep clamoring for Anthony Richardson is why people should stop at least is because, you know, Richardson still doesn't quite know the protections and audibles and stuff, which is stuff that's not obvious to us, but it's very obvious to the coaches. And so Mullen brought up the fact that he had a huge play against FAU, a scramble that went for a lot of yards and that got people really excited. But Mullen brought up the fact that he missed a protection early before the play even started. And then he missed something during the play. And because of the way the play broke down, because of those misreads, it resulted in him having to take over with his athleticism. And obviously, you can't deny the fact that he's just a crazy athletic person. So, I mean, he definitely is equipped to be a starting quarterback in the future and for a long time in the NFL, probably with his size and speed and strength and arm strength and accuracy and all that. But in terms of going up against Alabama, you need a quarterback that has been watching and knowing how to read schemes, how to do this, how to call the right protections, because if you miss a protection against Alabama, it honestly could be your life. Like, you have guys on that side that are 300 plus pounds running at you with speed that 300 pound guys shouldn't be running with. So
right,
you can't make mistakes like that against Alabama. So I think Emery, with his experience, as just in terms of the playbook and stuff, is what makes him the more viable starter for this week and for the rest of the season, in my opinion.
I'm actually going to add on to that. Skyler's right. I agree. Anthony Richardson, yes, is going to be there, but right now he's just all flash. You know, he's the guy coming in off the bench that's sparking things that are really cool to see. But like Skyler said, Emery knows the offense, and you got to look out for Anthony Richardson's hamstring. He did come up limping after that 80-yard run, TD run. You don't want to rush a hamstring. And if he's in there getting first team reps, you know, like running around the entire first half or whatever, he could re-aggravate that and it would cause more problems in the future.
That is, though, an argument for a lot of people that that's why he should start. It's because obviously when you sit on a bench, you get up, you sit on a bench and you get up. Obviously that activeness and inactiveness are going to mess with your muscles and you can't stay loose completely. So that's an argument for some people, but yeah.
I'd say you can just get on a bike.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah, my thing is, though, I just am a little concerned with the fact that Emery does not look the part, at least. Obviously, I get where you guys are coming from, but I do believe that Richardson is the better playmaker than Emery Jones. And I think in order to beat Alabama, you need playmakers. Emery has not shown me anything. Granted, he does have some good throws against USF this past weekend, but I felt like Anthony Richardson is the better overall talented player. Now, again, against Alabama, it'll probably be Emery Jones because Dan Mullen doesn't seem to care what fans think. He thinks that Emery's earned his job, which he has by waiting behind Trask, waiting his turn. I get that, but I do believe that Richardson does give them the better chance to beat Alabama because of his playmaking ability. And hell, he's even the leading rusher on the Gators right now with 275 yards rushing. And Emery, granted, he is second, but that's also very scary that your running backs are not stepping up to the plate for the Gators. But it is early in the season. Who knows what happens the rest of the season. But I do think that Richardson, the playmaking ability is something that should be considered for Mullen in order to beat Alabama, because I think that's the best chance of them beating Alabama. Otherwise, I don't think they stand a chance.
Well, just to go off of that, I mean, we're still going to have Richardson. He's still going to play some games. He practiced today, or he's still going to play in the game this week. He practiced today. But, like, that's I get with what you're saying with the more playmaking ability, but that's also what Dan Mullen made a point to say with how he missed protections and misreads and stuff. Like, those plays don't happen.
That's true. I'll give you that. And yeah. Again, against Alabama, like you said, you can't screw that up because you will get killed if you do anything to screw up. You have to play a near-perfect game to beat Alabama, which I agree with what you're saying with Richardson because he is so inexperienced. But I just think there can be a valid argument for Richardson to start or even be the starting quarterback going forward.
But, yeah, it's the SEC. You have too many big games to really kind of, like, plug someone in, a true freshman in, to see how they do.
It's just Alabama and Georgia, but okay, I'm not going to go further on the SEC. I'm not going further on the SEC.
Well, let's hop over to the far worst conference, the ACC. Mike,
I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, I mean, I have no.
We're going. Mike's
at least one Jacksonville won this week, right?
Yeah, Jacksonville State in Alabama, not even in Florida.
It's not even
the
a
fact
state.
That people are making. That's what I'm saying. The fact that people are making jokes that we lost to a school that wasn't a state, like Jacksonville. Oh my gosh. That game Saturday night was the most embarrassing loss in school history, the worst loss in school history. I have never been so, like, embarrassed. Like, I literally, when I saw that play unfold, I literally was standing by the TV, and I said, "What the fuck just happened?" And I don't even care if I just cuss like that. I literally said, "What the fuck just happened?" We lost to Jacksonville State, and it just blows my mind that we played Jacksonville State last year, mind you. We were struggling against them, and we somehow came back and won the game. The year before that, I want to say it was against – let me pull Stanford. Up the schedule. I don't know if it was Samford FSU schedule. Give me 1 second while I pull it up. Either way, it was Louisiana Monroe. We went to overtime and beat them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is going on with this Florida State team that 9 years ago, 8 years ago, were in the national championship? I don't get it. I really don't freaking get it. And why are we not playing prevent defense on the very last play of the game with 6 seconds left? It just blows my mind how the coaches just let that happen. And the players, they all stink. Half of them aren't going to be anything special. They're going to be professional in something other than football. But my God, that was just an embarrassing game. And then even a few years ago in 2018, we beat Samford by 10 points. Samford, Samford, not Bulldog. Stanford, not the Cardinal, but Samford Bulldogs, an FCS team. Like, what the hell? The last 4 years, we have struggled with FCS teams. That just shows how far FSU has fallen, and I'm over it. And it's going to be a long process of a rebuild. And now questions are coming up about Mike Norvell. I don't know. It's been a rough weekend. Keith, what were your thoughts on the game?
I mean, I watched the last play, and I was standing watching it. I saw the ball go up in the air. I saw it get caught. I saw two guys not even attempt to make a tackle. I saw him go in the end zone. I walked over. I turned off my Xbox with my foot. I turned off the TV with my finger. Walked in the room, closed the door, and put myself to sleep. Because I was just like, are you kidding me?
And it's funny. Me and Keith, you and I were texting during the game. And we both did not even text each other about that last play. We didn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah. No, it was just brutal. I mean, the game as a whole, I mean.
The offense was a joke.
The offense was pathetic. I listened to it on the radio in the beginning and just listening to the penalty after penalty. Again, it's going to be the same story with the Jags when we talk about them later on. But just like, how do you commit like stupid infractions like illegal man downfield? And I mean, there was 11 penalties for 114 yards. And Jacksonville State wasn't clean themselves. There was at one point they committed three straight penalties on not even like downs. It was like one down and then two more, like a false start and then like a hold. It was just incredible.
But it's crazy because I'm looking right now like at Florida State's like percentage, the win probability. We were at 92.2. And then after that play, obviously Jacksonville State went up to 100%. We were so close to winning. And it just I can't believe what happened Saturday night.
They the put offense up more total yards. They were better on third down. We went 4 for 14 on third down and 0 for 2 on fourth down. You can't do that.
The offense was a complete disgrace. And I honestly, after seeing that game, I don't know if Mackenzie Milton should be the starter. I really don't. The offense had no movement with him on the field because they're knowing that they can't. They're going to bring pressure because they know McKenzie can't really run like Jordan Travis can.
Right.
So I really don't know what's going to happen Saturday night or Saturday afternoon against Wake Forest, but I cannot believe I am saying this. It is a must win for Mike Norvell in Wake against Wake Forest. That is how bad this program has fallen, how far they've fallen, how bad we've looked over the last 5 years, and how Wake Forest is even the favorite. Well, like, it's just absolutely pathetic that we've gotten to this point. As a Florida State fan, it's embarrassing.
And the worst thing is, it's fixable mistakes that you just want to throw up when you look at them. But my dad texted me this after the game. My dad, the forever optimist, love you, Pops. 1989, the headline of the Tallahassee Democrat read OOH and 2 after FSU lost to Brett Favre and Southern Miss here in Jacksonville, and then Clemson, who was number 10 overall at the time. So they started 0-2.
Huh, wait, that's kind of the same path that Norvell's on right now. Losing right to a top 10 team in Notre Dame and an FCS team. And okay.
And you know what they did?
Started with Dynasty. Okay, yeah. I don't think they're going to win 10 straight, but
they finished number 5 overall, and they
the dynasty started.
Whooped Nebraska in the Fiesta Bowl. But, yeah, there's no way we're going to be doing that. But just thought that was kind of interesting. Like, he texted, or he was on the phone with me because he didn't get to see the game, and he told me that, and I just thought that was kind of funny. It's like, yeah, man, losing to a bad, unranked team, Southern Miss. But, I mean, again, they had Brett Favre, so it's a different story. And then beating number 10 Clemson, it's like, oh, wow. Or losing to number 10 Clemson, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a similar scenario, but there's no way we're winning 10 in a row.
You know what? I might try to see what I can do, but there's a guy actually that comes in here and brings his grandkids in for lessons, and he was actually one of the coaches on the Southern Miss team when Brett Favre was a freshman coming in.
Hey, that's pretty sweet.
And the stories we heard pretty funny, just because, like, when Brett Favre was in practice, they just could tell by the sound of the ball through the wind, you know, from the spiral and everything, that they had to put him in. And I think the quarterback they had before him at the time, they moved him to receiver.
So. One final note on the Noles, though. Just going to give another shout-out to Jermaine Johnson for, like, running the defense, you know. Another 2.5 sacks and 11 tackles for him. Just a pass deflection, too. I mean, he's the only player on this team that has any semblance of competency. Oh, and Ryan Fitzgerald hitting a 53-yard field goal. That was pretty cool, but...
Yeah, that was good for him after missing the kick against Notre Dame.
Yeah, again, but I mean, yeah.
But again, the offense was completely inexcusable. That falls on Norvell and Dillingham. And also the defense was a joke the last 2-3 minutes of the game with Adam Fuller. Like, I don't understand it, but from one disastrous performance to the next.
And that brings us to the Jacksonville Jaguars, as we predicted. And, oh, gosh, let me pull up the Instagram post real quick, because we got so shamed by this. Brutal. Mike, 31-14 Jacksonville. Skyler,
I was the closest with the points. I was closest with the points.
17-13.
I was closest. I was closest with points.
Oh, what was the final score?
It was 37. Mike said 38. And then Jacksonville scored 21. He said 12. So it was 38-12, Skyler's prediction. 37-21 was the actual final score.
Oh, fair enough. No, there was a point in the game I literally said, I said 30. What did I say? 31-14?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said 31-14. It was a point that was looking good. I was like, oh, that's going to be – it would be funny if I actually throw the score with the wrong teams. But of course.
That's what I texted y'all, too, in the middle of the game. I said, I guess I got my teams mixed up.
I mean, a team that wins just one game last season somehow looks worse in game one of this season. A lot of similarities to Florida State with the just horrendous discipline. They were lining up not correctly. They were holding. The two times that James Robinson and Carlos Hyde had, like, runs for over 10 yards, they were both negated thanks to holding calls. It was just a rough game all around. Mike, go ahead. Get into it.
I don't even know what I'm more upset about. The drops on offense, the amount of unnecessary penalties, such as the 12 men on the field on offense. I don't know about you guys, but when was the last time y'all saw that on offense? Coming out of a timeout, too, by the way. Not even like play, you're driving and there's 12 men on the field. Coming out of a timeout, we had 12 men on the field. The fact that Urban burned two timeouts in the first quarter, one of them in the first minute of the game. When I saw that, I was like, oh, this is not going to be a good game if we're already burning a timeout within the first minute. Oh, the amount of illegal formation penalties. What the hell? We're a professional football team. How are we not lined up correctly? I felt like it was every other drive we had one or two. The defense, I'm not even putting blame on the defense as much, minus some deep plays that should have never happened, like the one to Brandon Cooks or maybe the two to Brandon Cooks, where he had two deep completions where the defensive back could have knocked the ball down.
Yeah, because it was third down. He could have knocked it down instead of trying to go for the pick.
And our defense kind of did make Tyrod Taylor look like a Hall of Famer, the way he was running around throwing deep bombs. It was just the most frustrating game. And I cannot believe, like you said, a team that won one game in 2020 – look like, as of if they keep playing the way they did on Sunday afternoon, they may go 0-17.
Okay, like, I'm not going that far.
Hang on, look at the schedule and give me a win if you're basing off the performance that we had on Sunday.
I mean, we played Houston again.
Okay, maybe Houston again and maybe the Falcons. But I don't really see another win.
I think you're overreacting.
It's week one. We always overreact.
Exactly. That's the thing. We thought, I mean,
Jaguars were 1-0 last year. Yeah.
That's the thing. I get that. But that's why I tweeted the other day, is Sunday against the Broncos a must win? I think it is. Because if they go 0-2, their schedule does not get easier. They've got Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins coming through. Then they've got to go to Cincinnati to play Joe Burrow in that offense. Grant, and the defense looked good. Granted, the offensive line is not great. Then we go to Tennessee. Then Tennessee comes here. Then we go to London to face Miami. Granted, all these teams actually lost. Well, Bengals won, I believe. So the next three teams we play, they won. Then the Titans and Dolphins lost. So I just don't see – if they keep playing like they did on Sunday, I don't know how they're going to win a game. I just don't see it. There's just so much embarrassing things about this game. Skylar, what were your thoughts Sunday?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's frustrating to see, like, all those penalties. Like, it makes no sense that all those penalties should have been happening. Like, that's the one thing. You have a rookie quarterback, regardless of what his name is, you can't set him down, like, set him back. His first play was a 1st and 15 because of a penalty, pretty sure. So, and that was something that we saw a lot in the preseason. He, you know, drives kept starting backwards and going backwards, and he had to convert 3rd and 15s all throughout the preseason, and he converted some 3rd and 17s this past game. It's like we shouldn't be in those situations regardless. So that's definitely frustrating. They need to run the ball more. Like I said, like regardless of what his name is, you can't throw the ball 51 times, or I think he had 51 in total.
Yeah, yeah, and that's good thing you brought that up, Skylar, because Mark Long tweeted, Jaguars coach Urban Meyer offensive issues. We better not be at 51 dropbacks a game this season. I quote tweeted it. I said, LMFAO, Urban acting like they didn't abandon the run early in the game. We were down 7-0, 14-0. We completely abandoned the run game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. James Robinson had 5 carries.
Well, yeah, like the first two plays of the game should have just been handoffs.
In what world does Carlos Hyde get the ball more than James Robinson? 1,000-yard rusher last year.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, Hyde got more – it seemed like he had more carries and such.
He did.
Yeah, and it is frustrating to see. There's so many drops, obviously. Some from Chark, which is understandable since he's been out with injury. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of these things, though, they're fixable. Like, I'm sure they can get them corrected. They know what they can correct and stuff. Now, if they don't correct them coming into next week, it will be really worrisome. But one thing that I thought was interesting, Jordan DeLugo from Twitter retweeted a post from JP Acosta saying that, according to Pro Football Reference, the Jaguars were 11th in blitz rate, but 1st in pressure rate. And they only got 1 sack of Tyrod Taylor. And we're playing Teddy Bridgewater next week, who he's kind of mobile, but he's not as mobile as Tyrod. So I would expect our sacks to go up, our negative plays to go up on defense. That first defensive drive was a 3-and-out, and it looked great. The second one was that one had the deep pass to Brandon Cooks that shouldn't have been caught. And I think if you eliminate those improbable catches to Cooks, which I can't think of a playmaker on Denver's offense right now besides, don't they have Noah Fant?
They have Noah Fant. They just lost Judy for a little bit. They've got Cortland Sutton coming back from a torn ACL. They've got 2 running backs in Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. They also have Tim Patrick, who actually had 2 touchdowns, I believe, this past week for the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 1, but either way, the Broncos have decent weapons. It's just a matter of Teddy Bridgewater is a game manager. He's Teddy, check down, blah, 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 whatever. But I do think that the Broncos are going to do something against us. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, a big thing that I was bashing the defense on, I saw on Twitter as well, there was no negative plays, man. Like, every third down.
Oh, can we go over the one negative play that could have happened, but they ruled it a forward pass?
Oh.
Yes, but right before that, like, every third down they had was less than 10 yards. And that's not acceptable. You can't have a 3rd and 2 and expect to stop every time. It's hard. You need a 3rd and long, and there was no 3rd and longs in that game for Houston, so that's just terrible. But, yes, I do not understand how in the hell that is a pass. He ran into the ball, and it fell out of his hands. There's no way that should have – everybody on Twitter was fooled. we're all sitting there, and then
like, I literally tweeted back on the ball, center. Like, I saw so many ball don't lie tweets, but then I literally replied back, "Welp." There were so many ball don't lie tweets after that because that was supposed to be a pick. That was the big play that should have been, that could have been a pick. But as soon as I saw that they both went down with the ball, I knew receiver always gets the ball. They always give the receiver the tie.
Yep.
So it's just like it just things that didn't work out in our favor. But then again, the coaches did not help. The coaches were abysmal Sunday afternoon.
I agree. So we have Houston, or it's not Houston. I'm sorry. We have Denver coming up. Just to go back into our little predictions here, Mike, you're the only one who predicted an L for that one. Mike, Skyler and I both said we were going to win.
Wait, so, for Houston?
No, for Denver.
Oh, Denver. Yeah, I'm sticking.
Yeah, no, we all had W's for week one, which, ouch. Yeah.
Eat crow on that one.
Eating lots of crow for sure. So,
but in my defense, I always pick the Jaguars to win. So, nothing new for me, you know?
Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll have an opposite of last year. We lose week one, and then we win the rest of our games. Yeah, positive outlook. Nice,
but
I'm trying to go with your approach, Scott.
I've been telling people we're more like the Colts of last year. Like, no one expected the Colts to lose to the Jaguars in week one. And then the Colts still finished 11-5. And I think they just narrowly missed on the playoffs, or else they got eliminated week one. But I mean, if we can get 11 wins after a week one loss, that'd be nice.
Hey, I'd be totally down for that. Yeah.
All right, I got a question for you guys. So, who was the MVP of the game on Sunday, if you had to pick one?
MVP? Oh, yeah. That's easy. It's, what's his name? Logan Cook.
Oh, the punter, of course.
He averaged almost 50 yards a punt. He knocked one inside the 20. He had a 58-yard punt. I'm cool. I'm going with Logan Cook.
Or Rod Taylor.
No, I was trying to go with Jaguars MVPs mainly. Oh.
Their uniforms were nice. I like the teal socks. I can't think of a player that looked as good as the uniforms.
I'm looking through right here. DJ Chark had 3 receptions for 86 yards, but he was targeted 12 times.
Yeah, he had five drops, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I have a stat pulled up about that from John Shipley, too. So DJ Chark caught 3 of 12 targets, but per Sports Info Solutions, only 5 of those targets were deemed catchable. Only 4 of the other targets to the rest of the roster were deemed not catchable. So bulk of bad throws went to Chark, according to John Shipley.
Okay.
So, like I mentioned earlier, too, with Chark being out from injury, maybe their timing's off. You know, sure, Chark had drops, obviously. And, you know, once they get back, hopefully they get into a rhythm where we see less drops and we see more positive plays and we don't have to talk about third and long downs anymore and talk about not converting and stuff. Hopefully they just get in a rhythm and that eliminates that.
Yeah. Who do you have, Mike?
My MVP? As inconsistent as he looked, I'm still going to say Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Because he did have some dimes. Like, there were some throws I was like, whoa, he's got it. What was crazy about Lawrence is the fact that I think in the press conference after the game, he told reporters, he said he knew exactly what he did wrong as soon as he made the throw. And, like, he was walking out the field. He was like, okay, I know I did this, whatever the situation was. And I thought that was really good. Now I just hope he cuts down on the interceptions. Granted, he had a garbage time touchdown to end the game, but the fact that he threw for 332 yards, I'm glad with it, but granted, 51 times is stupid. And it should be cut in half. It should be 25 to 27 attempts, not 51. That's ridiculous. And that really pissed me off, that Urban Meyer did not try running the ball at all, and he ran it more with a veteran who we've seen for 8 years do nothing special compared to James Robinson, who last year was a top 5 running back last year. So I don't get it, but hopefully Urban learned his mistake and they adjust week 2 amid all the rumored turmoil that's going on with Urban Meyer this week.
It's disgusting that we even have to even bring that up. I think this is the stupidest thing. No, he's not going to USC. Shut up, media. Well, hopefully we'll be having a more positive next episode. But I did have a few quick local updates I just wanted to throw in, if that's okay with you guys.
That's good with me.
Cool, cool. So the Chick-fil-A on University, I'm not sure if you guys have been there yet. It took over the old Krispy Kreme that was there. Right next to them, they're actually putting a Chipotle where the old Whataburger used to be. And that's special to me because, excuse me, that Whataburger was the Whataburger I tried to go to on my birthday, I think, last year. And apparently they had closed like 2 days before. And I was really upset because I really wanted Whataburger for my birthday and I couldn't get it because they were closed. by work on Roosevelt, the Steinmart location that's there is actually going to be demolished. So that whole shopping plaza is just like disintegrating, basically, except for the Publix. I'm not sure what that means for Ulta on the corner. Of course, you guys don't care about that because you're not into beauty. But, well, maybe you guys are. I don't know. We did Skylar's makeup one time.
Yeah, I'm very beautiful.
And last but not least, I just wanted to just throw out a rest in peace to Tommy Hazuri, the old mayor of Jacksonville. He passed away on September 11th. He was mayor of Jacksonville. He was a member of Jacksonville City Council. He was part of the school board. He was part of the House of Representatives. He was just a really good guy and really did a lot of things for Jacksonville, too. So I just wanted to give him a quick shout out, just a rest in peace. And that's it. Well, Mike, you want to wrap it up? Who wants to wrap it up? I don't care.
Well, I can wrap it up. From Dimes on Duval, I'm Skylar Chase with Mike Yajdi and Keith Mansey. Y'all will hear from us next week.
Peace out.
I still love you, Trevor Lawrence.